before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack, and if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions that they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you'll commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we begin, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Lord, we thank you for this day. We give you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, I pray that everyone had a good day. And Lord God, even if their day has been challenging, I pray, Lord God, that you can just have them put it aside so that they can focus on you. Lord, I pray for every marriage, every engagement, Lord God, every couple, God, I pray that you just cover them right now. And as they are struggling, Lord God, let them learn so that they can strive and thrive and enjoy their marriage. We thank you, Lord, for this time. And Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name we do pray.
Amen. Amen. Well, this evening, we're dealing with something that destroys many marriages silently because couples don't always recognize what's happening. Today's message is called Carrying Luggage You Didn't Pack. Loving your spouse through the baggage of previous relationships. You know, and this was a subject that, you know, kind of came to me while over the past few months that I've been working on the 17th anniversary edition audiobook for my book, Damaged Goods. You know, because many couples are trying to build a healthy covenant while dragging pain from unhealthy experiences.
Yeah.
Sometimes the baggage came from previous romantic relationships, sometimes from childhood, sometimes abandonment, rejection, abuse, betrayal, sometimes even toxic church experiences, absent parents, or environments where love was conditional. And the dangerous part is that many people are not even conscious of the trauma they carry until they finally enter a safe relationship. The safety exposes what survival once concealed.
Say that again.
Safety exposes what survival once concealed.
My God. And many spouses become confused because they're saying, why are you reacting this way? Why are you afraid? Why do you shut down? Why do you assume the worst? Why do you push me away when I'm trying to love you? The truth is, many people are responding to wounds, not the person standing in front of them. I was one. And if couples don't learn how to identify emotional baggage, communicate through it, and heal biblically, unresolved pain can sabotage a healthy marriage.
And I want to say this before I go any before we go any further. Just because your spouse or your partner has some baggage that they brought in from a previous relationship does not exempt you from the pain or the hurt that you yourself is causing, because the two things can be true at the same time. They can be reacting based off past trauma, but you can be triggering it by current behavior.
And not even realizing it because you concealed it.
Exactly. So let's not think that just because they have past trauma that that exempts you from your behavior. So before we go any further, I want to make sure that we're clear on that, because I think a lot of times we want to blame because we don't want to take accountability for our own actions or our own behavior. We want to blame the fact that somebody else has baggage that, oh, no, that's just your baggage. No, it's not just their baggage sometimes, because we have to take accountability for our part. One thing that is definitely true, God cannot heal or deliver anything that we're dishonest about. And I want to say that again.
That's true.
God cannot heal or deliver anything that we're not dishonest about. That's just like going to the doctor and you got a limp and, you know, you got a pain in your knee. But when you go in, you try to straighten up and walk right because you don't want the doctor to know something's wrong with your knee. Well, they can't treat it.
Right.
Because you didn't never reveal to them that there was something wrong. Yeah. And you're like, well, God knows everything. Yes, he does. But God is a gentleman. And God's never going to override your will. And so God said, anything that you want to keep, I'll let you keep it, whether it's good for you or not. And so that includes any addictions, that includes any sinful patterns and behaviors, any things that we walk in that we don't want to be delivered from because we're enjoying them. Because God said, if you don't ask me to take it away, I'm not going to take it away. One of the things that I learned years ago, it's like, for example, if we say, and I'm just use this for an example, but like saying, and this is all bonus, but we need to know these things before we go into this. For example, if you're a person who struggles with pornography and you say, I struggle with pornography, you're not struggling. You enjoy it. So you're talking about, I struggle with pornography, but no, you actually go out and you buy porn. You actually go looking for porn. You're actively involved in that. And so you're talking about, I struggle with it. That's not a struggle. That's a decision. That's a choice. Even though you have an addiction, that's not a struggle for you. Right. That's something you're actively enjoying. And so if that's the case, you need to be honest. God, that's something that I like. And I need you to take that enjoyment away from me. I need you to take that taste away from me. Because if you're honest with God, then now God can deal with that. Because if it's a lie, God says, then that's... You have now made an agreement with the father of lies, the enemy. Yeah. And so now I cannot do anything for you because you've already made your agreement. So we got to be clear about that. And it's the same thing. And that behavior that you may be doing may be triggering your spouse because they may have some trauma. And so they may be reacting a certain way based off of a trauma that they've had previously. And you don't get to just say, oh, that's your previous baggage if you're still doing something. So let's be clear about that. But there may be a situation where you may be doing something that is resembling a behavior that's causing that. And that's two totally different things. So I wanted to be clear about that up front, because in order for us to move forward, in order for us to get help, in order for us to be healed, in order for us to be made whole, we must be transparent before the Lord. We must make ourselves naked and unashamed before the Lord in order for the Lord to heal us. And that's the enemy's trick, is to use shame, to use isolation, to keep us from going to the Lord. That's why Adam and Eve had so much trouble, because remember, when they sinned, they hid from the Lord. Yep. And the Lord only wanted to help them. He wasn't trying to punish them. He wasn't trying to shame them. He was trying to help them.
And the enemy tries to distort what enjoyment is.
Yes.
Just like he, you know, approached Eve in the garden, he distorted the fruit that she was forbidden to touch and eat.
Yes.
So.
And so we got to understand. And so safe love exposes hidden wounds.
Yep.
So you got to recognize when you get into that safe, that safe relationship. So if you're carrying hidden baggage and hidden wounds, when you get into a place where you've got somebody who loves you unconditionally, you've got somebody who's treating you well. Now, all of a sudden, these things come out. One of the biggest revelations couples must understand is this: toxic environments often hide trauma. But safe environments expose it. See, when people are in survival mode, they suppress emotions just to function. But once they finally experience genuine love, peace, consistency, safety, the walls start coming down. And when the walls come down, unresolved wounds come up. Watch this. Let's say, for example, a wife may become defensive every time her husband asks questions. Not because he's controlling, but because she wants to live with manipulation and interrogation.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use the example with Pastor Stephanie and I. When we first got married, you know, I'm a very logical guy. I'm a very result-oriented guy. I'm a very solutions-based guy. And so I'm always trying to help. I'm always trying to make things better. That's the way my mind works. And so she would do something that would cause struggle for her. And I would say, you know, you ought to do it this way. You ought to do it that way. And that's just me communicating. I'm not trying to tell her she's dumb. I'm not trying to tell her. I'm just trying to help her have less of a hard time with something she may be doing. But she came out of an environment where it was verbally abusive,
mm-hmm.
where she did hear things like, you know, that's stupid, or these kind of comments. And so because of that, it was triggering for her, but she didn't even realize it. And so she would respond to me in a very defensive posture. And I'm wondering, where's this coming from? I didn't even say anything. I'm trying to help.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the problem? And it took a while before me to even understand what was going on. You know, you may have a husband that may shut down emotionally, not because he doesn't love his wife, but because vulnerability once led to humiliation and rejection. You may be a guy who, you know, you opened your heart to a woman and a woman just played you. And so now you've made up in your mind, you know, unconsciously, I'll never do that again. And so because of that, you've closed yourself off, and now you've got somebody who wants to love on you, who wants to treat you right, and now you've shut off a part of you that your wife deserves. See, the spouse is reacting to old pain while standing in a new covenant. Watch this. You've got to stop assuming every unhealthy response is intentional rebellion. You might want to write that down. Stop assuming every unhealthy response is intentional rebellion. Learn to ask what happened to you instead of only what's wrong with you.
My God.
See, because some things, some of their behavior, some of their responses are not something wrong with them. Yeah. It may be a result of something that happened to them.
That's right. Yeah.
And don't get frustrated if they can't answer you, because sometimes they don't know. But it may lead them to now start asking that question for themselves.
And, you know, Pastor Tuck, he used to get frustrated because he did not have a solution to the question that he asked me, because I didn't even know what the solution was. And because he was so solution focused and linear, you know, it used to
drive me nuts. And yeah. That's where God had to lead me through this process. He had to teach me how to love my wife through this. And that's where the book Damaged Goods was actually birthed out of, because he taught me how to love her through this. And he did this to help me, because throughout our years in ministry, I had to end up using those same things that he taught me to do with my wife to minister to so many single moms and broken women that came into our ministry. I had to use those same ministry tools to minister to them, to people in my congregation. And so it was something that he was teaching me because he wanted me to have that compassion tool. And I've been able to teach it to so many other husbands to be able to utilize in their own relationships. Because if you don't understand how to walk and love somebody through this, you'll abandon something that God intended for you to have because you've not developed the compassion muscle. Yep. So you've got to discern triggers without excusing sinful behavior.
My gosh. Yep. And you know, some people enter marriage with invisible suitcases, you know, totally invisible, but they bring them in. So everybody brings something into marriage. Some bring trust issues. Some bring abandonment wounds. Some bring insecurity. Some bring comparison. Some bring fear of conflict. Some bring hyper-independence.
Wow.
Because they learned they couldn't depend on anyone.
That is dangerous.
It is.
That is very dangerous because God never created us to be independent. Mm-hmm. I hate the way society pushes independence like it's this great thing. The word humble means to remove the independence of. We were made to be dependent upon God. Yeah. And then the world keeps telling you, you've got to be independent. Which is literally making you try, the enemy trying to make you abandon your relationship with God.
And so many mothers, for example, who have had children and they bring children into their marriage, you know, because they had to be mama, daddy, provider, disciplinarian, you know, all these things they had to do, they had to be independent. But the issue comes when they meet somebody they fall in love with, then they get married, they wanted to give all this off, you know, their shoulders, but they still hold on to it.
And that's the problem because they never had to be independent. They were always supposed to be dependent upon God.
Yep.
And if you're always dependent upon God, then when God brings you a godly man, it's easy for God to say, now I've sent you someone who represents me in the earth. And so now that same dependency you have with me, you can now trust in him because he's my representative. Mm-hmm. But now that you've been taught to depend only upon yourself, you can't depend on God's representative because you don't even trust in God.
Right. Wow. And many spouses don't realize they're carrying emotional luggage that they never packed themselves. Mm. Examples of different categories of emotional luggage. Ready? Childhood trauma. Rejection, abuse, neglect, emotional inconsistency, previous relationships, God, infidelity, manipulation, narcissistic abuse. My God, there's so many narcissists out there, aren't there? Abandonment, emotional cheating, family models, toxic communication, unhealthy gender roles, anger, silence, financial chaos.
And you talking about trying to drag around a footlocker full of somebody else's stuff that you did not contribute to.
Mm-hmm. You didn't inherit it.
You've inherited somebody else's mess.
Yep.
See, in damaged goods, the restoring power of the Father's love, I deal with how brokenness often manifests in adulthood through emotional patterns, defensive behaviors, and relational instability. And in the book, The Two Will Become One Flesh, we emphasize that marriage doesn't just join two people together. Mm-hmm. It joins histories, habits, expectations, wounds, and belief systems. See, love is not just romantic, it's redemptive. Biblical marriage is not merely about romance. It's about redemption. Christ didn't marry a perfect church. He loved a wounded church. Oh, I think I need to say that again. Christ didn't marry a perfect church. He loved a wounded church. And so if you're willing to abandon your spouse because they're wounded, then you don't even understand the concept of marriage. See, according to Ephesians 5, it says husbands are called to love their wives the way Christ loved the church. Mm. See, a true husband understands that our assignment is sacrificial. That means that you've got to put yourself on the cross daily. You've got to put your life on the line for her daily. That means it's not about what I want. I get so frustrated when I see men who are unfaithful to their covenant, who dishonor their covenant, their vows, because of selfish reasons, like their physical needs are not being met. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, because, you know, as men, so many societies try to make, oh, like this, your physical needs are so important. You've been taking care of your own physical needs sinfully since you were a teenager. So why are you trying to now make this such high priority on your list that you're going to dishonor God, dishonor mm-hmm. your wife, and dishonor your marriage covenant? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And all you're doing, I'm sorry, is that you are actually jeopardizing your future generations, your children, and everything that God has actually, that you told God you wanted in your prayer closet. That's just selfish.
Yeah.
And you have been called to live a sacrificial life. You have been given one of the greatest honors on the planet. And men, I'm going to tell you, I'm getting in you, because as a man, as a husband, I understand what we've been given. We were given the greatest honor there is on this planet. We were given the same rank, authority, and title in the life of our children that God holds in ours by being able to be called a father. Mm-hmm. And he gave us the role of husband, houseband, the thing that holds the household together.
Yeah.
We are the covering.
Yeah.
So he gave us the position of authority, mm-hmm. honor, respect. And then we get mad when we don't get it because we don't live it out. Nope. See, you get that as a result of walking in the position. People are like, well, my wife don't treat me that way. It ain't about how she treats you. It's, are you walking in the role? I tell people all the time, your job is to look so much like Christ that she follows you by accident, that she'll honor you by accident, because you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. He gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So if she's wounded, you wash her with the word.
Yeah.
By walking it out in front of her, by speaking it over her, by doing what the word says for her, mm-hmm. by carrying her burdens, by treating her with honor as the weaker vessel, mm-hmm. which is protection. But then we get into this place of walking in this selfish place, and we can't even do what we've been called to do.
That's right.
Because that's how Christ did for us. He was willing to give up everything that he wanted for himself to make sure that he could make the wounded church whole. And see, when you do that, you get the reward that God promised you. So you got to understand what is entailed in that.
And real quick, when you're talking about Christ not, go back, if you don't mind. Christ didn't marry a perfect church. Another problem is many times, especially for women, we come in thinking that we have to be perfect. You know, you see previous examples, like my mom, all this time for years when I was a child, I thought she was perfect, the ultimate wife. So I put that perfectionism on me, and I didn't have to be that for him. So, you know, there's just different ways that, again, the enemy uses to play with you. So one thing about love, you know, healthy love creates an atmosphere where healing can happen. Not enabling, not abuse tolerance, no codependency, but grace-filled, truth-filled partnership.
See, you cannot heal what you keep hiding. I told you that. You've got to be honest with God. He can't heal or deliver where you're not honest. See, many marriages struggle because couples keep fighting symptoms instead of identifying wounds. See, you got symptoms like anger, withdrawal, jealousy, shutdowns, overreacting, constant suspicion, fear of intimacy. And then there are possible root causes like betrayal trauma, father wounds, rejection, shame, fear of abandonment, emotional neglect. And see, a lot of things that you could be doing to cause these things are being disloyal. Actually, mishandling them emotionally or physically even. Actually, infidelity. Acting in a suspicious nature. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times I see men that are like, you know, oh, I ain't letting her have a password. Well, why? What you got to hide?
Yeah.
If she's already struggling with these things, this trust issue, then what's the issue? Mm-hmm. See, when one thing that I always say, if there's smoke, there's fire. We not keep on getting all the smoke for no reason. One thing about it, if you are constantly getting accused of the same thing.
Wow.
There's a question why.
Yeah. And you have to be willing to explore the why.
Yeah.
Not say, I don't have a problem, you got a problem.
Yeah, I'll give you a perfect example. My wife and I have been married almost 29 years. In September, we'll be married 29 years. Not once has she accused me of anybody. You know why? Because every evening, guess where I'm at? When my phone rings, she can answer it. I ain't got to sneak nowhere and answer no texts.
Right.
I ain't got no crazy apps on my phone.
Nope.
Every device I got, every password I got, my wife and my daughters have.
And I know his friends too.
Exactly.
I have a relationship with them.
So it's like everything about my life is open. My habits are consistent. So there's nothing anywhere to be questioned. The Bible says, don't let your good be spoken evil of. Mm-hmm. So even if she had some of these previous baggages, there's nothing in me that's going to trigger those.
Thank you, Lord.
See, watch this. Let me help you. When we first got married, one of the first things, because everybody has a past. Mm-hmm. And because I know certain people are like, well, you know, certain things are just part of my personality. Certain things are part of habits that I have. Blah, blah. Guess what? I had a personality. I had habits as well. But when her and I got together, the first thing I did before her and I, when we made a decision that her and I were going to be exclusive, the first thing I did that day, I went down to Verizon, told them, I need you to change my phone number. I need a brand new phone number. Because I did not need anything coming back and causing me problems right. in my future.
Yep.
Everything from my past, I needed to be dead. That's how serious I was. So you have to ask yourself, how serious are you? See, that's how we do. When we serious. See, if you were one of these guys in the street and you was hustling in the street and you was trying to get out of it, you didn't hold on to that cell phone that they used to contact you with to make them kind of deals, because if somebody got indicted, you didn't want none of that connected to you.
Mm-mm.
Because when you were serious that you was leaving that life, you made sure that life was left. You didn't keep no scales. You didn't keep no bags. You didn't keep nothing
mm-hmm.
connected to any of that. See, so like I said, when you're going through that list, all these different things, these root causes, this betrayal trauma, father wounds, rejection, shame, fear of abandonment, emotional neglect, then you've got to now trace the trigger.
So when conflict happens, ask yourself, what exactly triggered me? When have I felt this situation before? Is my spouse reminding me of someone else emotionally? Am I reacting to the present or am I reliving the past?
Mm. See, healing requires both responsibility and compassion. And that's the key. Responsibility and compassion. Because you've got to be compassionate about the things that did not belong to you.
That's right.
And you got to have responsibility for what's yours.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take responsibility for what's yours, and you got to be compassionate about what's not yours. See, like I said, my wife sometimes had issues because there were certain things that were just my personality. The fact that I'm a big personality. I'm a dominant male. So my personality is strong. And so sometimes I had to tone down my responses. I had to measure my words, because even though I was not trying to be abusive, sometimes some of the things that I said, or the tone that I would say things, even sometimes my facial expression would trigger her. So I had to think, okay, make sure that when I talk to her, that I make sure that I use my words properly. So even sometimes when I had to, as she called it, strong talk, if there was something that was intense that I had to communicate, then I would have to lace it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Where, for example, let's say she did something wrong and I needed to tell her about it and I'm frustrated, then I may have to go, baby,
mm-hmm.
I need you to understand this. I had to check my tone. I had to soften it, because mm-hmm. I had to deliver it properly. Because if I delivered it in its raw, uncut form, it would trigger her, a trauma response.
Because I could always already been emotional. You know, I'm frustrated myself trying to understand. And when he does that, that makes me feel secure that he actually identifies I'm having trouble.
And that's the compassion side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to recognize the responsibility part of it. Because the Bible says, be angry but sin not. Mm-hmm. And so as a man, when we're angry, we like to fly off.
Oh yeah.
Because it feels good. That's the sin part.
That's right.
That's why we like everybody in human form. You like it when somebody cuts you off. Do you like to flip them off, or you like to curse them out, or you give them a piece of your mind, as they used to say? Those are the things that feel good. That's why the Bible says a fool gives full vent to his wrath. Because that's the sinful part. That's the part the enemy wants you to enjoy, because that's the part that's not pleasing to the Lord. And so that's the responsibility part. I got to recognize that's the part, that's the damage that I'm inflicting. The selfish part that says, you know, right now I don't really want to sit here and watch a movie. I want to go and hang out. But guess what? That's not good for my marriage. Because I know she got abandonment issues. So I need to take responsibility for my selfishness. Yeah. And I need to do something different. So I got to take responsibility for my part. Yeah, I got a friend, old girl that me and her been tight for a while. And you know, you've been holding that one in your hip pocket for a rainy day or whatever. And yeah, you call her your friend, but you know better.
Yeah. Yep.
That's your responsibility to say, no, I need to cut ties with all of that because it's not benefiting my relationship and it's hurting my spouse. These are your responsibilities.
Yeah.
Now, let's balance this correctly. Your spouse should be compassionate toward your wounds, but your wounds are still your responsibility to heal.
That is so good.
Yeah. You can't just sit there and just keep on bleeding on them.
Yeah.
See, trauma explains behavior. It does not excuse sin. See, you can't just lose it every time they do something based on something somebody else did, especially once they identify to you that this is not theirs. See, it's important to understand healing requires accountability.
Yeah.
Counseling is not weakness.
Mm-mm.
See, it's important for you to make sure that, like I said, if this is your issue, then you go and get some help to get through this.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can't just continue to flip off because, you know, that's just my, you know, that's just some baggage that I got and just keep leaning on that. If you know that this is an issue and they've identified that this is an issue, then you've got to go get some help to get through that. See, deliverance and therapy can work together.
They can.
Prayer alone is not always enough if patterns remain unaddressed.
Say that again.
Prayer alone is not always enough if patterns remain unaddressed.
That's right.
Communication must replace assumption.
And, you know, it's so important to know how to love someone through their baggage. Here are some practical biblical ways spouses can help one another heal. First thing is create emotional safety.
Mm.
Create, meaning you have to do it.
You got to put in the work.
Yep. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath."
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's so important that you listen without immediately correcting. Because when you do that, you make that person that's receiving it feel minimized.
Yes.
And don't weaponize vulnerability later. So don't keep a tag mark of, remember when you shoulda, coulda, woulda. That ain't gonna work. And avoid mocking emotional expression. You know, she's just over the top. She's so this and she's so that. No, she's having a feeling.
Yes. And you got to allow them to feel.
Yep.
Their emotions are their emotions. You got to recognize that. Everybody does not process things the same. Yep. One of the greatest misunderstandings in relationships, and we talk about this in the Two Become One Flesh, is how we were created. Mm-hmm. God created man. It says he formed man from the dust of the ground and he breathed into him the breath of life. So men were made from the outside in. So we are surface level creatures. We deal with stuff on the surface. It is what it is for us.
Yeah.
And it says he fashioned the woman around the rib. So he started with her on the inside and then went out. Yeah. So you internalize things. So we deal with things from two totally different aspects. So she's going to be a lot more emotional. And so you cannot try to penalize her for her emotions. You need to understand she's got different emotions about these things. She feels a different way. And so I've got to give her room to feel that way.
Yep.
And you can't expect him to feel the same way you do because he's not.
So it's important, you know, to learn triggers without manipulating them, you know, because people can manipulate triggers to satisfy their need.
And to try to keep the blame off of them.
Off of them, not taking responsibility.
Yes.
So, you know, learn what causes fear, shutdown, or defensiveness. Don't intentionally provoke insecurities during arguments. You know, if somebody was told that they didn't know what they were talking about constantly in another relationship, they get into another relationship, they think it's safe, and when they begin to talk, the other person goes, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You ain't making no sense.
And that's the thing. That's what people call gaslighting. You try to make somebody think they're crazy because you know that this is how it makes them feel. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. Yeah. To try to keep the blame off of yourself. That's not responsible.
Nope. Speak life use compassion. I'm sorry. Use compassion, not control. Control is a huge trigger. Speak life consistently. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So it's important that you reassure intentionally. That's purposefully. Affirm consistently. Sometimes people's love language is words of affirmation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Mine. Correct privately and lovingly. Whew. Correct what?
Privately.
Not in public. Practice patience during healing.
Mm. Yeah, that's big.
Yep.
That's big. It's going to require that. You need to give the same grace that God gives you. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love suffers long. Healing is often messy. Growth is rarely linear.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And encourage professional and spiritual support. You know, whether it's through Christian counseling, marriage coaching, support groups, prayer and discipleship, you know, trauma-informed pastoral care. Because when unhealed pain attacks intimacy, it can be very rough.
One of the biggest areas affected by emotional baggage is intimacy. Some people struggle with emotional closeness. You know, it's hard for them to support someone if they can't get close to them. Excuse me.
Physical affection can be another big area that it affects.
Mm-hmm.
Trust.
Yep. Vulnerability or sexual intimacy, because pain trained them to associate closeness with danger.
Mm. And that's why couples must learn that intimacy is not merely physical.
Mm-mm.
It is emotional safety, trust, and spiritual connection. And fellas, I need y'all to hear me on this. You may be frustrated physically, but if she has had some kind of trauma whether it's physical abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, whatever that is, mm-hmm. you have to understand it is affecting her intimacy language, her intimacy, her ability to connect with you intimately. And mm-hmm. just because you're frustrated does not mean that that's going to go away. And you trying to force her to be close to you physically for the sake of satisfying you is not helping you. Because she may give in to just give you what you're asking for, but she's not enjoying it at all. Mm-hmm. It is actually making her feel horrible.
Yeah.
And it's making her feel repulsed, is making her feel hurt, is making her feel worthless, is making her feel unappreciated, is making her feel like you don't care about her at all.
Right.
And so each time you force her to satisfy you, it makes her feel like you care nothing about her. And so you are destroying your intimacy. When you could be patient and show her that you care more about her mm-hmm. than you do the physical act. And you would actually be building your trust, that emotional safety, that spiritual connection. And the reward for that would be a greater level of intimacy in the long run. Yep. The problem is men are so short-sighted and society has taught them to be. And that's why you must develop your compassion muscle mm-hmm. if you're going to be a spouse. That's why I told you in the beginning that Jesus practiced sacrificial love.
He sure did.
You have to learn this. Remember, Jesus specialized in restoration. Mm-hmm. No matter what baggage entered the marriage, Jesus still restores.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So if we're supposed to love our wives like Christ did the church, then that's your job, is to heal her broken heart and to bind up her wounds, not make it worse.
Okay.
Isaiah 61 and 1 says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Remember, he said that he who findeth the wife findeth a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. So the only reason God sent you into her life was to heal her broken heart.
My God. Yeah.
So you've got to understand what your responsibility as a husband is. And I get tired of hearing men say, well, what am I supposed to get out the deal? You get to reap if you faint not. That's why the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, because you reap. It's time to man up, fellas, and stop being a little boy talking about what toy do I get to play with. No, it's time for you to be the man, for the man, because you always want to be the big man. You always want to be the guy in charge. Dang. You always want to be the daddy. You always want to be that guy. Then be that guy and show her that you that guy. And then God will reward you.
Yeah. And patience is the key. You know, even though, you know, Pastor Tucker and I, we have a beautiful marriage. But when I was going through my issues of re-experiencing stuff from sexual abuse, you know, he was making efforts of being patient and trying to navigate through that, you know. So I had to make myself aware of his attempts, of his effort.
And I didn't get it right every time.
No, he didn't. But we communicated about that. He, because he was compassionate and attentive, he can see that something was off. And, you know, it affected not only just our closeness, but it affected our sexual intimacy too. I mean, that's part of marriage.
Yes.
And, you know, there were things I had to tell him that were uncomfortable for me to even say. But because he was patient, he was quick to listen, slow to speak, not trying to fix everything.
And slow to get angry.
Slow to get angry. That's important. That patience paid off. And when my mother moved into our home for a few years. I started re-experiencing that stuff all over again. I went to counseling. I got therapy to help me through the emotional and sexual trauma I went through. And it helped me to be able not only to cope with her being in the house, but to be healthier for my husband.
And I had to get some counseling.
Pastor Tuck,
to y'all. Deal with it too.
Yeah, man.
Because like I said, it's not easy to deal with. But like I said, and that's the thing. But I had to be patient. And like I said, when I failed, I took responsibility for that failure. I didn't try to push that off on her. I didn't try to make that her problem. Nope. Because that's my wife. That's our problem. And that's why we have one of the best marriages on the planet. Because that's how God rewarded us. Mm-hmm.
So your marriage, you know, y'all, it's not doomed because there's baggage. The question is, will both spouses commit to healing instead of hiding?
Yes. See, this is your homework. You got to first begin with the luggage inventory. Each spouse privately writes, what pain am I still carrying? What triggers me most? What fear do I bring into this marriage? What unhealthy patterns did I learn growing up? What do I need from my spouse emotionally? Mm-hmm. And then exchange papers prayerfully and discuss without interruption.
You read my mind about papers because, you know, it's important that you do write these things out. Why? It slows your thought process down. It makes you really look and step back at what you wrote. And then more feeling comes out on paper than a text. Anybody can type. I mean, I can type and talk to Pastor Tuck. I used to, at least, you know, like it was nothing. So you can dissociate. Writing is crucial. So, you know, do a weekly check-in. Once a week, ask, did I make you feel emotionally safe this week? Did anything I said or did trigger pain in you? What can I do better emotionally? Hey, get feedback. It's okay. You know, how can I pray for you this week?
And you got to be big. You got to be mature enough to handle the answers you get back.
Right.
Because if they tell you, yeah, you did this and it triggered pain, I mean, you can't get mad about it. Take responsibility for it.
So it's important with another part to replace the lie. Excuse me. Each spouse identifies one false belief they carry from past trauma. I'm going to use an example. You know, because I was sexually abused, I'm unworthy. I'm dirty. And you carry that into the relationship. That's false. One scripture that combats the lie. For example, another one would be, you know, people always leave. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you or forsake you.
And like the one you just said, you talked about you're dirty, this and that. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yep.
That's a scripture that combats that thought. Now, how do you know when your spouse is reacting from pain instead of the present?
Oh, you're asking me? Well, if maybe for, okay, Maybe you come in and you want to like sneak up and give her a hug while she's doing something. And you do that and she ends up going slam off and said, oh, you startled me. You startle her and then she cusses you out. And you're like, well, darn, I'm not going to do that again. Because maybe somebody in her past, you know, maybe they used to do her the same way and try to force her into having sex. Okay? So that grip automatically triggers her mind to that trauma that will then play out into the response.
When the response is
exaggerated
or overreacts. Yeah. So how can couples avoid taking trauma responses personally? Well, one is if you know that this is not a response that belongs to you, then you have to understand exactly that. Use your compassion muscle to say, okay, this is not me. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that they're going through something, and so I can't take this personally. One tool that God gave me not too long ago, and not just trauma responses, but this is just dealing with people in general. When things happen, when I deal with people in general, God had to teach me. I had to start going, ask the Lord, how should I feel about that? Mm-hmm. I had to submit even my feelings to the Lord. How should I feel about that? Because God will have to tell me whether or not to take that personally, whether that has it, because some things don't even have anything to do with me. God will tell me that doesn't have anything to do with you. They're having a bad day. And so at that point, all I can do is pray for them because that doesn't even have anything to do with me. But then some things he'd say, no, that's personal. Yeah. You can get upset about that. And then he'll tell me how to respond. Because the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. So some things require some righteous indignation. But some things you have to understand, it doesn't even have anything to do with you.
And ladies, you got to stop hiding what your trauma is. He's not a mind reader. You're not a mind reader. So share with him. Help him understand. Because they're trying to figure it out. Especially if they're taking it personally. Okay.
What role does emotional safety play in healing?
I mean, you feel safe to express your feelings. Say, for instance, you are having a bad day and you're short with your spouse. And because you're having a bad day, it's because you didn't sleep good because of nightmares, you know. So it's important to have a safe environment to be able to share, honey, I had a nightmare about what happened to me. Remember how I used to have nightmares? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can love alone heal trauma? Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Especially not the love of your spouse.
Nope.
The love of God, maybe. But no. It's going to require some prayer. It's going to require some counseling. Mm-hmm. It's going to require the Lord getting involved. But it is going to require you to love them through it. They're not going to get through it by themselves.
Right.
How do couples balance grace with accountability? You need to give them the grace to be able to process their trauma, but you also have to hold them accountable.
Yep.
To actually go through the healing process, to actually get some help with it. The same with the triggering behavior. You have to give them the grace when somebody's made a mistake, but you also have to hold them accountable to not allow them to continue to make those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that. I want to give you some questions that you might want to write down that, and I'll just read these. You can go back and replay these, but that you may want to talk amongst yourselves about this. What emotional baggage did you unknowingly bring into marriage? What relationship experiences shaped your view of love? What triggers conflict most in your marriage? Do you feel emotionally safe with your spouse? Why or why not? Mm-hmm. How did your family model communication and conflict? What fears surface most during disagreements? How do you typically respond to emotional pain? Fight, flight, freeze, or withdrawal? What unhealthy coping mechanisms have affected your marriage? Have you clearly communicated your emotional needs? What areas of healing still need attention? How can your spouse better support your healing journey? What role has unforgiveness played in your relationship? That's big.
Mm-hmm.
How can you create a healthier communication patterns? What boundaries are necessary for emotional health? That's huge. What practical steps can you take this month toward healing together? Marriage is not just about finding someone to love. It's about learning how to love each other through healing, growth, restoration, and transformation. Sometimes your spouse is carrying luggage they never packed, wounds they never asked for, pain they never properly processed. But through Christ, healing is possible.
Yes. And when couples stop fighting each other and start fighting for each other, there's a difference. God can restore what trauma tried to destroy.
Let us pray our way out here. I pray this has blessed you.
Bless me.
Father, in the name of Jesus, heal every wounded heart, every traumatized mind, every broken emotional place represented in these marriages. Teach couples how to love with patience, wisdom, compassion, truth, and grace. Help them create safe spaces for healing and transformation. Restore trust, restore intimacy, restore communication, restore covenant strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by this or any of our teaching here at My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, then you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or visit our website, www.lovemychurch.org, and click Sow a Seed. We have all kinds of faith-based content here at My Church Virtual Ministries. On Sunday mornings, we have three opportunities for you to worship with Reveal TV, with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We have Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Russell and Yavita Cash. Then we have the Leadership Academy, Medicine for the Mind, Women of Worth, The Man Cave, Marriage Seer Training, The Heart of the Pastor. We've even got My Church Last. We've got all kinds of faith-based content to help you continue to grow and walk your way as a disciple of Christ. All our desire is that for you to be whole. And we just want to be able to add the parts that you need to help supplement your faith journey. So if you desire to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, click that donate button, sow a financial seed. But in any event, make sure you share this with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody who needs it.
My God.
But God bless you. We love you. Make sure you stay tuned for our announcement. I'm Pastor Tuck. This is Pastor Steph. God bless you. We love you. See you again on next time.
See you next time.
Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and Spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
I just don't understand why I keep hitting the same walls in my relationships.
Maybe it's because of your relationship with your father?
Get ready to receive your breakthrough with Damaged Goods, the all-new audiobook from Pastor Lewis L. Tucker Jr. Prepare to experience the restoring power of the Father's love with a special 17th anniversary edition of the groundbreaking book, now available in audio. Get your copy today for you or someone you love, just in time for Mother's Day.
This Mother's Day, why not get her a gift that will literally change her life forever? A copy of Damaged Goods, The Restoring Power of the Father's Love, 17th Anniversary Edition, now available in audio, narrated by me, Pastor Tuck's very own AI voice clone. Trust me, she'll thank you.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted. Chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.